Alrighty then, it's that time. It is time for Living the Good Life right here on TantalkNetwork.com. And I am Pastor Marcia McAllister, and with me is my radio team, two of them, kind of three of them. Nan's here today, too. We got Megan, who is probably calling in even as I speak. All right, let me get Megan going here and get everybody on. What a day. Megan, is that you?
It's me. Hi.
I got to turn your volume down. You're just like me, Meg. You got that built-in microphone in your chest, right?
Yes.
It just came with you when you were born, and you still have
That's right.
Yes. So good to have you back on the air, girl. We've missed you. You've had a lot going on, and working-wise, and kids, and moving to Michigan, and all that good stuff. And we welcome you back on the air. We've missed you.
Thank you. I missed you guys, too.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been great just to keep doing these shows, and your mom's been on, and you, but we've missed you. So Dr. Angel's
yes,
on
yes.
with you today. Nan's actually here in the studio. And
hi, girls.
Yeah, Nan's probably going to write some poems, I would imagine. You know, she does. And we love to tease her. And we just had a great service this morning, Megan. And we had an amazing picnic and party after. And we grilled some hamburgers and hot dogs. And, of course, steak for Nathan since it was his birthday. And so we just had a great day. Dr. Angel, are you there? Wait a minute.
Oh, I'm here. And hey, Megan, so good to have you on today.
It would help if the person in the engineer here in the control room actually turned your mic on, wouldn't it? Would that help? Or you think
get it together, woman.
I know it. I know. What can I say? Oh, wow. What a beautiful day in Florida. And Nan, you want to say something?
Yeah, I'm not on the show today, but Megan, it's great to hear you on the show today. I just want to tell you, I'm really looking forward to hearing you today.
Thank you. Well, praise God. I'm glad to be on.
Oh, great.
My gosh, Megan, you're popular. What can I say?
I guess I am. I'm loved.
You are loved.
I'm loved.
I was telling some people this morning about you and your mom coming to church and your dad some back in our church in Indiana. And when you were started, you were only 8 or 9 when you started coming to church, didn't you? Sitting there with your mom.
Yep.
Wow.
I was just a tiny.
That's a long time ago.
I was just a tiny.
Wow.
It sure was.
But you know what? Through all these years, God has brought us back together in ministry. And now, you know, you've been a part, and your mom, too, of the radio team for a few years now. And that's just a joy to have you guys with us all the time. It's just
amen.
Really
it's such
amazing.
A blessing.
It's amazing. So what a joy. So we are in this series, The Power of Love. The power of His love is really what it is. And the power of love in general. And there's just so much that the love of God does in our lives. And so often we don't know how to solve what's going on in our lives. But the more we spend time with God, the more we spend time in His Word, the more we spend time in relationship with Him, the more we begin to see that He has a plan for us and He really, really loves us so very much. Do you want to comment on that, Megan, before we go to a song here in a minute?
Absolutely. You know, when we take the time to grow the relationship with Him, that's when things start coming into perspective about how much He cares about us.
Absolutely.
And, you know, He's always there, but it takes us reaching out and strengthening that relationship so that we learn more of the depth of His love. And, you know, once you're in that position, you don't want to leave. And
right.
It's not hard to get there. It just takes, you know, you got to take time out of your day to spend time with Him.
Yeah, you really do. And that's what it takes, really, Megan. It takes that effort of spending the time that we need to each individually spend, right? And the more you spend with people, a lot of people, the more you get used to them, the more you love them, the more you want to be around them, especially if they are people that you love and care about. And it's the same with our relationship with the Lord. Angel, talk to us about that. It's just that spending time so we can see what He has in store for us each day, you know?
Well, absolutely. You know, when we spend time with the Lord, we're growing that relationship. We're growing it intimately. We're learning more about his character, who he is, who
yes.
I am in relationship to him. You know, and without that relationship, we don't tap into the love and that
right.
God has for us at the level that he has it for us. And it's easy for us to not have that faith or not have that trust in him when we're not cultivating that relationship.
Exactly. And we're going to teach a concept today where the relationship between faith and love and how important that relationship is. And we're going to start right off with a song that is, it's not brand new by any means. It's been around probably 5 or 10 years, but it's one of the ones that I really enjoy because it speaks to what we need to be doing, trading my sorrows. And we're going to see how that applies to this topic. Sickness, disease, sorrow, depression, anxiety. Trade it in for the joy of the Lord. That's what we're starting off with today on Living the Good Life. So often we are bogged down with everything that life has to bring our way. Depression, anxiety, fear, panic, and we just don't know how to come out of this stuff. And this song just speaks to my heart. We need to trade it in. I have a Facebook post I did a few months ago. Maybe Megan or Angel, you remember. I think it was hashtag trade it in. And it was about this very subject. Talk to us, Megan, about the importance of letting go of this stuff that bogs us down.
Well, when you're holding on to fear, when you're holding on to anxiety, when you're holding on to depression, When those things are taking precedence in your life, then you're not functioning in the love and the joy of the Lord, and it's almost those things can almost be like a sickness.
Yeah.
You know, they can physically wear your body down. They can mentally wear you down, and you know that's where you know through learning the scriptures, praying, praising, and learning how to hear the voice of God instead of the voice of the devil.
Right, exactly.
Changes your life. And you make a 180, not a 360. And, you know, that's where, you know, it's so vitally important that as spiritual beings that we are in the Bible, that we're reading scripture and that we're learning that we are entitled to live in joy, that we don't have to live this life right here in sorrow. We don't have to be walking around mindlessly just, you know, living for the moment, like, oh, well, I'm not looking forward to tomorrow. Well, when you know that you're a child of the King, when you're a kingdom kid, you walk this earth with a little kick in your step.
And, you do, yeah.
You have a glow about you, you smile, and you know that no matter what comes at you, that it's defeated because God claims the victory in the end of it all.
Amen. And, you know, there are so many people that go through this life weak and defeated. Some of you right out there today in Radio Land, wherever you are, scattered around the globe, maybe having one of those weeks or one of those days where you feel like you're not really loved or appreciated, where you feel like the world is kind of caving in on you and your problems are getting huge and bigger by the minute. Dr. Angel, Megan's right. Getting in the Word, spending time in the presence of God, that's what this is all about. That's the power of love right there, loving God and spending time with Him. Go ahead.
Well, absolutely. That's where it's at. And, you know, no one is going to be without problems. No one is going to be without hardship. We can't get through this world without those experiences. But we know that the power of God, our power to get through comes from God. It's not my power.
Right.
It's not my education level. It's not anything I have. My power to get through comes from Him. And I can only know that and trust that as I spend time with Him.
But, you know, Angel, because you are a PhD licensed mental health counselor, I imagine there are people in your sphere of influence who believe that just willing depression away or just talking about it or trying to get at the root of it is the answer. And sometimes it is a part of the answer. But what you're saying and what I hear Megan saying and what we are saying today is relationship with Almighty God, our power source, our love source, is where we will learn to overcome all this junk that comes at us all the time. Megan, talk to me about that, because it's the truth. God has the power to help us overcome.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's at church this morning, they mentioned, I think it's somewhere in Proverbs 1, 2, or 3, and you can definitely know what I'm talking about when I say the scripture that says, do not lean on your own understanding.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
Yeah. And, I had 1, 2, 3. But that is so true, because we have no idea what is going to occur in our life. And that's where trusting, putting the complete trust in Him is of utmost importance. And I know that is so hard to do, especially if you're a baby Christian, because you don't know what we mean and you don't know how to do that when you don't have the true knowledge of God. And that's why it's so important that you've got to get to a church. You've got to surround yourself with other Christians. You've got to surround yourself with positive, God-fearing people. And you've got to get the right influences in your life so that you can learn, because this is all this whole life here on this earth, to me, and I look at it this way, is it's a whole learning process.
It is a learning process.
You know, it is. And as we go through trials and tribulations and as we walk through the valleys and come up on the top of the mountain, we learn through all of that who has the ultimate control. And through all of those storms and all of those trials, you know, it happens. It's life. But we learn and lean on His understanding, not ours.
Absolutely.
And that's where the love and the grace are, oh my gosh, extremely abundant, enough to carry you through anything.
And I think that the root of this, and we're going to talk about this, we're going to go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Some of you that want to follow along in your Bible, you might go there. 1 John 4, 7, the next to the end of the book of the Bible, clear back there, 1 John. You know, so often I think, Angel, that people have grown up either in church or not in church. Sometimes it can work either way, where they just don't have a good perception of their Heavenly Father at all. We talked last week a little bit about this, about sometimes people relate their relationship with God like an earthly father, and if they've had a bad earthly father situation, then then they just can't grasp God's great love. Do you want to address that, Angel, before we go to 1 John 4:7?
Oh, absolutely, and I agree with you. I think there are a lot of people who know of God. They don't know God. You know, sitting through different churches or different teachings, you know, people have kind of learned a lot of different perceptions of who God is, and that's the human interpretation of God. And instead of getting into his word and letting him show you who he is through his character, through, because it's all here. That's God. It's his manifestation of his love for us and who he is and all those wonderful things that they've just accepted human interpretation, and that's who God is. So why would I trust, you know, a God that lets bad things happen? Why would I trust a God who, you know, and come up with all these excuses instead of, let me find out who he is for myself. Let him teach me who he is so I can get to know this God.
And why don't a lot of people want to know who he really is? I mean, is it because they are content just with the perception that they've had of God for so many years? Is it that it's too much effort? Or is it laziness? Is it complacency? Do you want to address that, Angel?
Well, I think it could be for a number of reasons, but, you know, traditionalism kind of sits in there. There's a lot of faith systems that are really rooted in this tradition. You know, my mother was this faith, or my grandmother was this. This is right. How we believe, and that's just what our family does, or that's just what our culture does. I think there's a traditionalism in there. I think there's a laziness in there. And then I think there's a fear of, well, if I get to know him differently, then what will that mean to me? Will he change me? What will I have to do? Will he expect more from me?
Heaven forbid that we have to change, right? 1 John 4:7, my beloved friends, let us continue to love others since love comes from God. I think it says here to love each other. I just said it wrong. To love each other since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. You know, that's very interesting. Here John is saying, you know, this whole concept of love, it originated with God. And I love that. That is something a lot of times we think it's us, you know, like, oh, wow, you know, I just really discovered how powerful love is, you know, if they get a new boyfriend or whatever the case may be. And God said, I'm the one who authored love. I'm the one who figured it all out. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences a relationship with God. So that is a very strong point, because so often we find ourselves lacking in this area of love in our lives. Selfishness, desire to do things our way or to have things go our way sometimes keeps us from really establishing this life of love. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. And that's 1 John 4:8. God is love. So you can't know him if you don't love. That is very strong. Megan, talk to us. You can't know him if you don't love.
That's right. And, you know, if you, and when I translate that into my own words, it's to me as if you have a heart that is hidden, if you have a heart that's hardened, If you don't want to care about others because you're self-absorbed,
right,
then you're missing out on so much potential in your life.
Yes.
When you are not letting that happen.
Right.
And, you know, it really makes me sad, because, you know, I'm out in the public a lot now because of my job, and it's so apparent how self-absorbed society has become, and how loveless that we all have become. And it's really changing the world. It's changing the environment. And we need it back, because God created us to be loving creatures.
Yes.
He created us in his image. And what does he do the best? Loves us.
Exactly.
And that's what we need to spread. You know, and that's why it's so important as a Christian that, you know, I know people will hurt you. I know people have hurt you.
Sure they do.
But that's why, and they do, and that's just the way that things happen, because, you know, we're not perfect beings, but
right. We
need to learn that through love that there's forgiveness.
Yes.
And that there's that kindness and that grace and that mercy, that, and it all comes from God, because he's the one that made us.
He's the one that made us. He's the one that originated the concept. He is love. God is love. And when you talk about that whole concept and get that down on the inside of you and realize that this was the brainchild of Almighty God. Love was his idea, Angel. Talk to us. It was his idea.
It absolutely was. And I think this, when we talk about, you know, when we're born as humans, we have that place put and designed in us for God. And I think it's for that love of God to overflow and seep us. And we search for it in lots of ways. Without God, a lot of times we're trying to find people to fill that God's love hole, or relationships, or having kids, or pets, or whatever we can find to fill God's love hole. But only God can fill his love hole, because only God is true love.
He absolutely is. And, you know, I agree with you. There's so often people go searching everywhere else to feel that. Well, it just reminds me of, like, on Christmas morning sometimes, you know, when you were a kid and you wanted a certain thing and you didn't get it. Maybe your parents couldn't afford it, or they didn't understand that that's really the most important thing to you, or whatever. And you walk away feeling that disappointment. You know, so often in life, people are disappointed like that over and over again through life. Relationships disappoint. People disappoint. Jobs disappoint. Income disappoints, whatever it is, and people begin to expect that it's not going to be any different. And there might be some of our audience out there today thinking, I'm always going to be in this mess. I'm always going to feel unloved. I'm always going to feel that even God doesn't even love me. You know, a lot of people that have grown up with parents that really were not very loving really begin to think that God's that has that same attitude toward them. Megan, talk to us about this. God is love. He created love. This came from him. Talk to us, Megan.
Well, for those that think that God doesn't love them because of what they've done or who they are, I'm telling you, you're wrong. Because he loved you enough to breathe life into your lungs. He loves you enough to wake you up every morning. And he carries you throughout the day, despite whether you think he's there or not. He never turns his back on you. He is the ultimate, ultimate father. The yes. love that's never ending. The grace that's never ending. The joy that's never ending. Right. There is no circumstance that you have been through that he's not been there. He just is waiting on you to reach out to him and join that relationship so that he can carry you. Because it's not God who makes bad things happen. That's called life, and it's called influence from the devil, right. outside sources. We won't get into that. But the Lord wants to alter your view on yes. your circumstances.
Right.
So you have to reach out. You can't just say, oh, well, God doesn't love me because I did this. That's completely wrong. All you have to do is ask for forgiveness, and you are right there on his lap.
Well, absolutely. And I propose, and we're going to go down to verse 17. We'll go back to some of those verses we missed, but we're going to go down to verse 17 of 1 John 4. God is love. There it is again, three words. God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us so that we're free of worry on judgment day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ. There is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. I think a lot of people get to a point where in their lives where they might become kind of cynical and say, you know, I've been married this many times, or I've had this happen to me so much, or every relationship I'm in, I always end up hurt and it never works out. And I propose right now that the essence of success in a relationship is a relationship based on each person loving God with all their heart, and well-formed love banishes fear. Talk to me, Angel.
Well, you can't, you know, they just can't take up residence. You know, when we have love, there's a trust base in that
yes.
love. And we can't be trusting and be fearful at the same time. It just, they can't coexist. And so when we are building that relationship with God, when we are nurturing it, when we are getting intimate, when we do know who he is and who his character is and who I am and standing of who God is, I can put more trust in him. Does that mean we'll never feel fear? No. But then when we feel those feelings of fear, we're not living in fear. We're going, you know what? No, my God said He'll supply all my needs.
Right.
My God said, you know, all right. things work for my good. And, you know, and just when we know what he said and what he'll do, and he's not a liar. God cannot lie. It's clear in the Bible. He cannot lie.
He cannot. He does not.
We can stand firm in those promises. And that's where that love can't coexist with that fear.
Oh, it cannot. Absolutely. Talk to us about all that, Megan, because this is his nature. God is love. The Bible does not say God is punishment. The Bible does not say God is anger. God is retribution. God gets you when you're bad. It doesn't say anything like that. The Bible, the message of the Bible is very clear. God is love. Talk to us, Megan.
Amen. And I really think that the world has stepped away from the teachings of the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the one true
yes.
dictionary, the one true dictionary of love
right.
is the Holy Bible.
Right,
and,
sure.
you know, if people would want to learn more about why he has done the things that he's done, why he created his son and sent him here as the final sacrifice to finally show human nature that, look, I'm not the God of hate. I'm not the God of punishment. I'm the God of love. I'm sending him down here to forgive you for anything and everything that you do. There is
right.
there is no greater thing or person that can forgive you than God.
That's exactly
and,
right.
You know, I can't. It's so hard to put words to how great his love is, but I can tell you what, it's totally changed my life. And if I didn't have that, I'm fearful of where I would be if I didn't have
okay,
that
I'm going to put you on the spot before we do this next song. How's it changed your life, God's love? And then, Angel, you can answer that after the song. How has God's love changed your life?
Well, to put it into, to make a long story short, it's changed my perspective on death. It's changed my perspective on grief.
Okay.
Because, you know, everybody that's listened before knows that I lost a son in 2014.
Yes.
And, you know, the greatest gift of peace that I've been given is the love that I felt from the Lord, that God told me, Megan, I know exactly how you feel. I had to watch my son die
right.
on the cross.
Right.
And so there's that correlation. He knows what it feels like to lose someone.
Right.
He knows what it's like to see someone in pain.
Right.
He can relate to us on any level, no matter what that is. And when you have that love in your life, there is nothing that you can't cope with, that you're faced with. The devil can throw anything at you, and you come out victorious because you know without a shadow of a doubt that that love can cast you any shadow and any murky water that ever comes at you.
Woo! Whom shall I fear?
Darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear?
That's God's love for us. Fear's got to be gone. We're holding on to your promises. You're faithful. You're faithful to your promises, mighty God, and he is. He loves us so very much. If you just joined us, this is Living the Good Life, and we are talking about the power of love. And it's God's love in us that moves those mountains and changes our lives. Angel, talk to us. We were just talking before that song, and I told you I'd come back to you next.
Yes, you did. How has the love of God changed my life? Wow, it is totally 360 to my life. I think some of the most important parts is, you know, before I really got a hold of how God loves me, I didn't like myself. I was very self-destructive and just thought there was nothing good in me. I had no value, no worth. And God taught me differently, and he has taught me who I am through him. And there's a whole change in my life as he's walked with me every day and renewing who I am and who I am through him.
So you're saying that circumstances, life circumstances, had you in a place at one point in your life where you felt unloved?
Absolutely.
I believe that most people in our audience today can feel that and relate to that, just like Megan was saying. There are so many times where we are so crippled with feeling that nobody really cares about us and that God doesn't really love us. And we're afraid of being alone. You know, we're afraid that nobody really will ever be there for us. You know, maybe we've gone through many relationships or maybe our own families have let us down. Comment on that, Angel, before we go back to Megan. And if any of you want a French fry from the restaurant next door, Nan just brought some in and she's about to eat those. Megan, she's really about to eat them.
Well, you know, when you talked about earlier how a lot of times we learn what love is as it's modeled through our families of origin, you know, when we're growing up, that's the only model of what we know love is. And when that family maybe isn't healthy or when they don't manifest love in a way that they should, it definitely gives us a skewed perspective of what love is. And we don't even realize it because that's just what we know. And then as we start to get to know him, we're like, oh my gosh, that's what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't keep records of wrong. Love, you know, thinks of others first. You know, that's love. Like, that was totally not the love I was raised into thinking was love. And so that's what that relationship with him is about. And you're feeling his love. You can literally feel his arms of love wrap around you as you are searching for him and reading the scriptures and sitting in praise. It is the most amazing time.
You really can.
Mm-hmm.
You're referring to 1 Corinthians 13. We did a Facebook post on that a couple days ago. It's called hashtag loving for real. So you can catch it on Facebook. But that the 1 Corinthians 13 passage is some of the stuff you were just quoting, where it says, this is what love is. And if you don't have love, you're like a rusty gate. You know, you're creaking, you know, that's kind of a awful sound when you're opening a gate and it's all rusted and it's talk to us, Megan, about so many times in our lives where we really aren't very loving and very kind, and yet love is patient, love is kind, love is giving, love is, you know, standing with somebody during difficult times. And there's so many times in our lives we can really look back and say, I wasn't very loving then. You want to talk to us about that?
Sure. Well, you know, I think that
Whoa, what happened? You're all garbled.
Are you there?
No, you're all garbled. You're going to have to call back in, evidently. Totally
okay,
garbled.
I'll have to move, but I'll hang up and call back.
Call back.
Okay.
Wow, that was weird, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
That was terrible. So go ahead, Angel, while she's calling back in.
Okay, now you have to bring me back to the question. That's
just
okay.
Just so often we are not living in that kind of love, where love is patient, kind. And
oh, no. And not we aren't being patient and we aren't being kind with ourselves and with people in our lives and our families. A lot of times we can be guilty of that. I think we just get caught up in this self-centered culture that we have. It's
right.
All about me. It's all about my way. It's all about my happiness. And it's not. You know, God's greatest commandments is love him and love others. And I think we lose that love others. I think we start feeling like loving others are just people who agree with me or people who make me feel good about myself or people that, you know, can give me something. But that wasn't what that scripture said.
It's
loving others.
It's loving others.
And loving others means I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to demonstrate what God has demonstrated with me. He has been so patient with me. I can't tell you the numbers of times I have messed up or made horrible choices and horrible mistakes. And there he is waiting for me to come crawling back and, okay, let's keep working on this. He's been kind. You know, he's given me every one of those attributes.
Amen.
Over and over.
Amen. Talk to us now, Megan. Let's try this again.
How do I sound now?
Fine.
Good?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I think that it's hard sometimes to love fully and openly when
yes.
you may be holding on to some resentment in your
right.
life.
Yes.
From past hurts that you're afraid to open up to people because you're afraid you're going to be hurt.
Right.
But I'll tell you, you know, when you're walking in the love of the Lord, you know, there are going to be people that take advantage of you and take your love for granted. But when you're walking in faith and when you're walking in the love of the Lord, you bounce back extremely fast. It doesn't knock you down. You keep going. And that's where, you know, through the lessons of love, as I'll call it, from God, is that through those times you learn to be more patient with
right.
people, and you learn
yes.
to be forgive quicker than
yeah.
you did.
Right.
And because you know that through that you're able to step on and move on because that love is carrying you.
Well, I agree. And let's go back to this verse here in 1 John 4, I think it's about verse 17 or 18. And in the Message Bible, it says, well-formed love banishes fear. And I propose to both of you that a lot of times people are not loving because they are afraid of the reaction they're going to get if they reach out in love. They are afraid that if they reach out and show kindness that it's going to be refused. They are afraid that somebody will make fun of them for being loving. And it takes time to form love within us. It says, well-formed love banishes fear. So often we are in a place where we don't take the time to work on forming that love within us. And one of the ways we learn to do that is by getting in the Word and seeing how God feels about us, right? And so often we don't do this. It takes time to form this kind of love, Dr. Angel. Talk to me about that.
Well, absolutely, because, you know, trust is part of that love, and it doesn't just happen overnight. It happens day by day and step by step, and that's as we grow and mature through God that love grows, our love deepens, at least it should be deepening.
Yes.
And, you know, right, I think people do get afraid because when we put that, our love, our hearts on the lines for humans, we're finite. We make mistakes. We get hurt, and there's a vulnerability in there.
Oh, yeah.
And so if I'm not going to, you know, I can't tell you how many times in the counseling room I've heard, well, I'm just not going to let anybody have my heart again because I don't want to get hurt.
Exactly. Oh, you've heard that in counseling quite a bit, right?
Oh, that's a big.
Right? Isn't that a big problem for a lot of people?
But what they're doing is denying themselves of the love that we need to give and take love freely. That's what we're designed to do. That's how God designed us. And when we cut off our hearts because we've been hurt, we're cutting off the love that's supposed to be flowing freely. And we get miserable.
So when little kids, grow up in a home that lacks a lot of love, and when they look at that as in a daily basis, they are... The love just isn't there. They're just not feeling that. They're not feeling that acceptance. Doesn't it take a huge toll on people?
Oh, absolutely. It takes a huge toll. But what I can tell you is I've watched kids grow up in homes where the love that was given was just very unhealthy, abusive love. But somehow they've learned to love by what they didn't get, what their heart was missing. And they've learned to reach out in compassion and empathy. And
right.
some of those kids are my tender-hearted kids that are just amazing people.
Wow, that's interesting. So it doesn't always work terrible in people when they've been treated badly. They're not always destined to a life of no love.
No, they're not. In fact, sometimes they can learn to give what they wish they had.
Okay. Well, that's interesting, yeah. So well-formed love. So, Megan, it's something that you have young children. It's something that we have to really teach, right? And especially when you have brothers and sisters who fight and all that kind of stuff, as kids do.
Yes. you know, though.
Your kids never fight, though, do they? Your kids never do.
No, never.
Yeah, okay.
Only about 50 times a day.
Okay.
but, you know, at the end of the day, at the end of the argument, they still love each other.
Sure.
Because, you know, we are formed in the image of our Father. And I believe that every single one of us are born to love another human and born to love multiple humans.
Right.
Because we need that nurturing. We need to seek that out. We need to give it away. That's what makes us happy. I mean, aren't we all happy when we really have a good friend or we really have somebody that loves us? But we should be really happy to know that there's even a greater love that comes down from heaven, that's Ooh. God, that allowed us to feel that way, that we're able to share that with other people. And the stronger we get in the Lord, the stronger that love pours out from us. And,
exactly.
And the more that we're able to sparkle among some dull rocks.
Right. Well, look at this in verse 19. We love, we, though, are not going to love and be loved. First we are loved, now we love. He first loved us. In other words, Jesus loved us first and gave us the example. That's why John 3:16 and 17 is so powerful. For God so loved the world. That's his motivation behind sending Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Wow, he loved us first. That old song, Oh How I Love Jesus, and it ends with, because he first loved me. Angel, talk to us. Because he first loved us gives us the motivation to love. We have an example.
Well, absolutely, because he loved us knowing our faults, knowing our frailties, knowing our mistakes, knowing who would reject him, how long would we reject him, what would we do, and he still chose to love us first. That's pretty amazing. That's just a love beyond comprehension in the human sphere, I think, because, you know, so often it's easy for us to say we love somebody who's sweet and
I love you.
Yeah, when they're acting all sweet to us and we're, you know, happy with
I
them.
Love you.
But try loving someone who's not acting very kind to us. It's not easy because that human sphere is like, oh, I'll love you to the degree that I feel like you like and love me. And God doesn't work that way. He's like, I'm giving you my best. I'm giving you my all. And what you do with it, that's up to you.
And you know, it translates into our daily lives. I think that's what we're saying in the show. And the show, of course, is not going the way I thought it was going to go. But you know what? It's practical Christian living is what this radio show is all about. And when we are in a position that we understand, let's say, the first part of that, yeah, God loved us enough to send his Son. We get that. But then when it comes to translating that into our own lives, I think this is where a lot of people have a hard time because they have such a hard time believing that the mistakes they've made, the things that they continually say and do that are not right or not godly or whatever, cause them to fall out of favor with God. David said in Psalm 5:12, God, your favor surrounds me like a shield. You know, and what do we need a shield for? A favor. We need a shield of favor and God's love so that the enemy knows, wait a minute. Oh, that's one of God's kids. I better be a little more careful here. And so what the enemy does so often is tell us, you know, God does. Look, God knows what a total, you know, mess you are and knows everything you've just done and you're doing. And he really is mad at you. That's the devil's message to us. Over and over again, Dr. Angel. Talk to me, and then we'll go to Megan, and then we'll go sing, play a song.
Well, absolutely. I think, you know, the devil's whole purpose is to get us to distract us from Christ, distract us from his power, because he knows that all the power is wrapped up in God and our relationship with Jesus. And so if he can distract us and thinking, oh, you're not good enough. Oh, don't you remember that mistake you made? Yeah. How could God forgive that? Oh, you're not holy. You know, whatever. Then if he can distract us, then we're not tapping in to Christ's love and we're not tapping into his power and we are not living our God-designed purpose for our life. and that keeps us defeated.
That's exactly right. And that is not what God has for each of us. He wants to demonstrate his love. Now, we're going to talk about John 11. We're going to go there in a minute. John chapter 11, where we were this morning in our service, because this is a very important passage of Scripture as we get closer to Resurrection Day in about 3 weeks. And we see that Jesus wants to show his power, the power of his love, in a very kind of difficult, weird circumstance here, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But Megan, comment on that, and then we're going to play this wonderful song. Go ahead, Megan.
Well, you know, God's forgiveness gives us the power to tell the devil that my mistakes and my past do not define my future.
Oh, do you want to repeat that again?
Sure. That God's love and God's forgiveness gives us the power to tell the devil that my past mistakes or my shortcomings do not define my future.
Did you find the bell? There's the bell. I knew you were looking for the bell, Dr. Angel. Ring the bell. Yes, it does not define my future. I can make mistakes, but it doesn't mean I'm always going to make the same mistakes over and over again, right?
That's right. And, you know, even if you do, even if you backslide, it's okay. It may happen. It's going to happen. There's temptations all around us. But that doesn't mean that we are faulted and that we're written in the naughty book. It doesn't mean that.
We're not in the naughty book? Naughty and nice?
Not in the naughty
book. All right.
Mm-hmm. This is not like Santa.
That's just at Christmas
time
for Santa.
This is not like Santa.
Uh-huh.
But,
yeah.
You know, that's where that, you know, when we're walking in love, when we're walking in the righteousness of God, that we know that no matter who hurts us, how someone hurts us, that we're going to recover.
Yes.
That we are allowed to recover because we have the healing coming from heaven. We got the healing coming from our Heavenly Father.
It's because he's a good, good Father. We did this morning in our service, and I just can't get away from the song for the last week or two. We got to get this down on the inside of us, folks.
Thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I am never alone, 'cause you're a good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. And I've seen many searching for answers. You're perfect in all of your ways.
love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love, love. It's who I am.
Love it. Love that song. Love that song. That just says so much right there of how much God loves us. We're going into John chapter 11 and talking about Lazarus, the good friend of Jesus. And we're going to start with our second hour with that passage in just a moment. But there's so many times that we all think that because of our foibles, our imperfections, we're not worthy of God's great love for us. Nan, God gave you a poem during that song. You want to read it to us right now?
Yes, ma'am.
Please, hang on. Let me get your mic on. Okay.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Can hear you now.
All right. I am the good, good Father. I love you with all of my heart. Call out to me. I love you so much. Of my family, will you be a part? I love you with all of my heart. For you, I gave my begotten Son's life. He can live within your heart and help you with all of your strife. So believe that I'm the good, good Father, and I have the very best for you. I love you with all of my heart. Always believe that my love is true.
Oh, that's nice. And that's a word from God to some of our listeners.
Two or three different places he inspired to put, I love you with all of my heart. And I think some of the listeners just need to hear that because they may think they're unlovable.
Yeah.
They may think they've done something. Oh, he can't love me because I did this, 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 this.
Exactly.
Well, no, he's the good, good Father, and he loves you.
He loves you. He loves you. Thank you for writing what God gave you right there, Nan. Wow. All right. Megan, just sum up some of this first hour for us, will you? And then I'll go to Angel, and then we'll get on here with the new stuff. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I think it should be in people's best interest that if they want to seek healing, if they want to seek to feel better about themselves, if they want to really understand and know what it's like to be loved, that they need to seek out God.
Amen.
And that's the purpose of this whole entire show and the
Absolutely.
Whole entire purpose of preaching the Word of God is
right.
to spread the knowledge of what is readily available to you. You just have to claim it.
That's exactly right. You have to learn. You have to want it, and you got to learn to walk in it. And there is so much out there that God will teach you about how great his love is for you if you'll get in and dig into the Word and start finding it. I always encourage people to get into the book of John first. It's one of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, written by the one who was the closest to Jesus when he walked this earth, the Apostle John. He also wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and he also wrote the book of Revelation. And, I mean, a lot of the New Testament was written by this man who has walked with Jesus, saw this stuff firsthand, eyewitness accounts so vitally important. We'll be back in just a second. But before we do station ID, Dr. Angel, talk about our Thursday night show, will you please?
All right. Thursday night here on this station at 6:06 p.m. is Go Yard, which means hitting the home runs in life. And it's hosted by me, Dr. Angel, and Mama Mac.
Which is me.
And her alter ego.
Right.
And it's really helping you just learn to handle life's problems, giving you practical tools to get through those bumps and bruises along the way of life.
We're in our fourth year. We'll be celebrating our fourth anniversary in September. Can you believe that, Megan, that show's been on the air that long?
No, I don't. It doesn't seem possible.
I know. Megan, you listen a lot. You want to comment on the Thursday night counseling show?
Absolutely. You know, it's an amazing time because, you know, we get Dr. Angel's perspective, and then we get you, Pastor Mama Mac, you know, the perspective of...
Pastor Mama Mac.
Both of...
That's not bad. That's
and,
not bad.
You know, Pastor Mama Mac, it's right. A different perspective from both of you, but it's amazing advice because it's advice that we all can use, and it's something that you need to turn into because you guys really focus in on some serious issues that we all deal with on a daily basis.
Absolutely. Go to tantalknetwork.com, go to podcast, go to Go Yard, and you can get a lot of our shows. And the last 2 weeks we did a series on finding your voice. I don't know if you had time to listen to that, Megan, but it's very beneficial. It was really a good two-part series. This week we're starting a new series called Inner Confidence. Do you have it?
How to get it.
How to get it. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Prayer line on 24/7, 365 on email. Prayers at bohmglobal.com. Megan, why should they write out a prayer request to that address?
Because there's power in prayer and there's power in numbers, because it's quoted in scripture, where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them. And when we all pray in unity, the Heavenly Father moves them mountains.
Boy, he